Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. Most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and well-being. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life more. That's what we attempt to bring you on Healthy Alternatives. Now, every week I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. And this week is a big one. The FDA is getting ready to ban supplements. Back in 1994, Congress passed a law prohibiting the FDA from banning popular nutrients. There's a loophole in that 1994 law where the FDA was given authority to regulate ingredients introduced after 1994. It's been 17 years, and the FDA looks like they're getting ready to, in effect, not just take notification of new ingredients, which was what the 1994 law applied, but require that these ingredients undergo tremendous amounts of testing. They're going to require the manufacturers of these supplements to go through very expensive studies using absurdly high dose levels so that there can be a quote-unquote safety factor up to 2,000 times the recommended dosage on a per-product basis. That means that even if certain nutrients have been safely used over the last 3 decades, or if something since then had its formulary changed a little bit, the FDA means they're going to have to go through this kind of testing. They're also, in these new guidelines, looking to turn these dietary supplements to be regulated as synthetic food preservatives, as food additives. The original 1994 law actually appears to say that the FDA cannot classify food supplements as food additives, so that the FDA appears to be making a power grab to, in effect, shut down the supplement industry. Now, what kind of harm has been happening to folks from taking vitamin supplements? Well, the American Association of Poison Control Centers reported that substances implicated in fatal poisonings in 2001, 84.6% were from pharmaceutical drugs. How many from dietary supplements? 0.8%. And that even includes several substances that were banned many years ago, and also a central nervous stimulant, Mawang. And so even including those, you're at a 0.8% level. So we're not talking about something that's very dangerous to begin with. But what does it do when the FDA classifies these things as additives, requires this kind of testing? Means manufacturers can't meet that. Well, guess who could meet those standards? The drug companies. And if the drug companies do qualify something like fish oils, they own fish oils, and guess what's going to happen to the price of fish oil supplements? They're going to go through the roof because they're now going to be a prescription drug. You need to contact your representative, your senators. You need to tell them that they've got to stop the FDA's power grab and take away our ability to choose the supplements we want. Today, I'm going to be talking to Kim Green. Kim is co-director of Grades of Green. This is a nonprofit organization that helps parents and educators create a healthier environment for their school kids. They're looking to really create a healthy environment by looking at the chemicals that are in the environment and giving people real options as to what they could be using out there. Grades of Green has been honored with many awards, including the US EPA's prestigious Environmental Award, and we're going to be talking to Kim Martin in just a moment. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. If you'd like to sign up for a free monthly e-newsletter that I do, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and on the navigation at the top, click on Home, and you'll see where you can go and sign up for that newsletter. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a breakthrough, something new, some new information, new ways of doing things that can really assist you. Well, since I was just talking about the FDA and the overreaching and drugs and the impact of that, I want to talk about something that's happening that's very positive on the opposite side. There's been a push to get pediatricians to stop prescribing antibiotics to kids for illnesses where they're not effective. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention found that since the early 1990s, there has now been a 10% drop in prescription rates for antibiotics for kids 14 and younger. They found the largest declines came from using antibiotics against colds and sore throats, although there wasn't much change in how often they used against ear infections. See, antibiotics, they may be used, but they don't work against viral illnesses, and that's what colds and sore throats tend to be. And so that you can have instead bacterial resistant to antibiotics developing in these kids, as well as all kind of side effects. So this is good news that there's at least a trend starting where pediatricians are paying attention and not prescribing these drugs for kids unnecessarily. Before I bring my guest on, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Kim Martin. Kim is founder and co-director of Grades of Green. What Grades of Green is a nonprofit organization that helps parents and educators create a healthier environment for their school kids. It's a mission that is really aimed to inspire and empower kids, and it has the broader context of bringing in the care for the environment. Prior to founding Grades of Green, Kim practiced environmental law for 15 years. Her practice encompassed all areas of environmental law, including land use, water quality, air quality, and cleaning up of polluted waters. Her specialty was enforcement of laws protecting water quality, particularly on stormwater and urban runoff pollution control. She got a bachelor's degree from UCLA. Her
attorney degree as a Juris Doctor. It was from Pepperdine School of Law, where she also taught environmental law. Grades of Green has been honored by many awards, including the U.S. EPA's prestigious Environmental Award, and they offer dozens of programs to help parents and teachers make their schools greener at their website, gradesofgreen.org. So, Kim, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thanks, Jerry.
So tell us more about how Grades of Green got started, and what was that motivation originally for you?
Great. Well, as you mentioned, Jerry, we're a national nonprofit group, and we provide environmental education and conservation programs for schools. And our mission is simply to inspire and empower kids and the broader school community to care for the environment. And we do that by giving parents and teachers free instructions for making their schools greener. So we have dozens of free activities on our website so that any parent or teacher who wants to make their school greener, and by the way, they can also save money while doing so, they just can go online and they get these step-by-step instructions for free. There's activities for just a ton of ways to green the school, such as reducing trash, reducing emissions, getting rid of harmful classroom chemicals, and providing in-classroom education on the environment. So just dozens of programs like that.
So how's the reception been out there?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. We were really blown away. When we first started this program as a volunteer organization 5 years ago, we simply started it with one school. There were just, you know, several parents who got together and thought, you know, they were just inspired. They were actually inspired, a couple of them, by seeing Al Gore's documentary that had just come out at the time. So they weren't even environmentalists. They were just, you know, average parents who just had a concern about what we were doing to our environment. So we got together at this one school and thought of ways that we could try and green the school. And that soon snowballed into the entire district. We had a meeting with our city council members scheduled for the first month that we had started this volunteer program. And by the time that meeting happened a month later, there were representatives from each and every school within the district. There were like 7 schools, I think, represented, and the room was packed. We soon realized that we had, you know, tapped into something that a lot of people were really concerned about. And then when we started getting national press for what we were doing, we started getting calls from all over the country, you know, asking how can we do this too? You know, where can we find this information to do this? And that's kind of the genesis of how the nonprofit Grades of Green started. We thought it would be great to get all this information and all the trial and error that we had done at our initial school and get it up on the website so that everyone could have the benefit of, you know, these explicit how-to activities to green their school.
So this is kind of like falling into becoming a national organization as opposed to planning into becoming a national organization, it sounds like.
That is absolutely true. None of us planned for this to become our careers or to devote our lives doing this, but we're ecstatic that it's turned out that way. We just are so, so passionate about what we do. There's 4 founders of Grades of Green, and each one of us brings something different to bear, and we just come at it every day just so excited to see, you know, what we can do to engage other schools to take similar steps to green their schools. And because we wanted to take out the scare factor and make it as easy as possible for people who have an interest in greening their schools, but it just seems like a really difficult thing to do, every activity that we have has explicit and really easy how-tos. And all of these how-tos, you know, these step-by-step instructions are replete with all the research we've done, all the artwork we've already created, you know, just memos that you can use to school administrators, et cetera, anything else one would need to get an activity started.
Terrific. And for listeners who may not be aware of my background on this aspect, I was originally out of law school back in the early 70s, an attorney for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, which was very early environmental days. And so with what Kim's doing with this organization, I think it's terrific. Now, what are the chemicals out there that we have to be concerned about because of toxicity for kids?
If I could just address the one thing that you just said first, Jerry, if I may.
Sure.
Also, having been an environmental attorney, I just wanted to agree with you. You and I and people like us worked so hard to you know, work with polluters, or, you know, in often having to sue polluters to protect the environment. And what is absolutely wonderful about Grades Green is that it really educates kids. You know, our vision is to make environmental protection second nature in these kids, so that hopefully they grow up with these very, you know, these great habits that are, you know, like I said, second nature to them towards protecting the environment.
And I'm sure actually, with the, even them not growing up yet, but going home and saying to mom and dad, hey, mom and dad, do you know you ought to be doing? I'm sure that's having a major spillover effect at home and also people's businesses.
That's exactly right. I mean, these kids take it home. For example, one of our activities is a trash-free lunch, and they come home and say, "Mom, you know, Dad, I've got to and I want to pack a trash-free lunch to school." And so, by bringing that home, all of a sudden, then the family is receiving the benefit of, you know, of the lesson, and all of a sudden, everyone's concentrated on packing a trash-free lunch, and the parents and the kids are learning, you know, about reducing trash together. So it's wonderful.
So let's go to the chemicals now. What are they that the listeners need to be aware of that are toxic ones that are out there that you're aware of?
Well, there are a wide variety of them. We actually put together a list we call the 7 worst toxins list, Jerry, and it outlines the chemicals that are commonly used in everyday products that we think should be eliminated from schools.
What are your top 3, Kim?
We have the top 7. I don't think we put them necessarily in order. They're all equal offenders.
Okay.
But 3 of those would be triclosan, organophosphates, and ammonia. And I can tell you a little bit about those if you like.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
So triclosan is commonly used in products labeled antibacterials, and it's a hormonal disruptor and a brain signal disruptor. And then you have organophosphates. They're commonly used in pesticides, mosquito and termite control, and they've been linked to asthma in the short term and ADHD and Parkinson's disease in the long term. And then ammonia, it has long been known to induce asthma attacks, is used in synthetic fertilizers, and a lot of times that's what schools use on their fields. So we have activities such as pesticide reduction and green cleaning supplies on our, you know, website, gradesgreen.org, that show parents how to reduce or even eliminate these toxins from their classrooms.
Give me an idea of, on one of those, how you would be recommending somebody eliminate. Let's do ammonia, because you talked about that also. You said it's used on the grass as well?
Yes,
or something?
Exactly. So okay. Yeah, let me tell you about the green cleaning supply activity, which would have to do with that.
Okay.
And then a little bit about the pesticide activity as well, which specifically has to do with getting rid of the fertilizers. So we create the green cleaning supply activity, Jerry, because of the fact that cleaning supplies commonly used in schools have more than 450 distinct toxic contaminants, including, as we talked about, chemicals linked to asthma and even cancer. So as you probably know, asthma in children has increased significantly over the past 15 years.
Epidemic proportions.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's now, you know, the most common chronic disease of childhood. And so because of that, school children miss more than 10 million school days because of asthma-related problems. So reducing classroom chemicals is not only crucial to the kids' health, it also has the side benefit of saving the schools money, because hopefully the kids are healthier and they're not missing as many days of school. So one thing that many parents and teachers are often mistaken about is they think that the chemicals used in these everyday products are regulated and they're tested for the toxicity, but they aren't. I know it's shocking, but of the 84,000 chemicals used in commerce, only 5 have been restricted by the Toxic Substances Control Act, which is a law, you know, that supposedly regulates these chemicals.
Which is a very weak law that doesn't do much to regulate the chemicals.
That's exactly right. And I'd even go as far to say is, you know, TSCA, as it's known, favors manufacturers. So the EPA has been unable to restrict even, you know, something as like asbestos. So until that law gets changed, you know, the responsibility for protecting our children falls to, you know, we parents and teachers. So this green cleaning supply activity, real quickly, it shows parents how to work with their school administrators to change from using toxic cleaning supplies to healthier ones. And it just couldn't be simpler. You know, I actually was the parent at the, you know, our first pilot school to try and get the cleaners changed over to non-toxic ones. Well, it ended up that the purchasing decision for the cleaning supplies, the janitorial cleaning supplies at our school, was made on a district level. So I met with the district administrator, and it also turned out that the cleaning supply company happened to have a Green Seal certified line. So with one simple phone call, not only was our school, their cleaning supplies changed over to non-toxic ones, but the entire district was changed over to a Green Seal certified, cleaning line. It was simple, it was easy, it wasn't any more expensive, and, it's benefited the kids' health greatly, not to mention the teachers.
Great story. And before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Kim Martin from Grades of Green, in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of Shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Kim Martin. She's founder and co-director of Grades of Green. Grades of Green is a nonprofit organization that helps parents and educators create a healthier environment for school children. Prior to founding Grades of Green, Kim practiced environmental law for more than 15 years. She worked in pretty much most areas of environmental law. She has a bachelor's degree from UCLA. Her law degree is from Pepperdine School of Law. She taught environmental law. And Grades of Green has been honored with many awards, including the US EPA's prestigious Environmental Award. So, Kim, we were talking about the toxic chemicals out there, and you were talking about ammonia initially. And so why don't we move over to one of the others?
Absolutely. So one of our other activities that we think is so important is pesticide, either reduction or even elimination if we can. So schools, as people may or may not know, schools often are treated regularly with pesticides to eliminate things like termites and ants and other insects that are attracted by food in classrooms. And then playing fields and grassy areas are often treated with synthetic fertilizers. These are, of course, not good for the kids' health, especially kids, actually, because their bodies and brains are still developing, and because they're smaller, they're lower to the ground. So we have an activity on pesticide reduction that shows parents how to get a group of interested parents together to work what's called an integrated pest management plan. So you can work with your school administrator or a district administrator and create an integrated pest management plan that reduces or even, eliminates pesticide use. There's lots of alternatives out there, some healthy alternatives to use to reduce, the pest problem. And with the playing fields, there's certainly a lot of other ways to take care of the lawns and the playing fields without using the fertilizers. And once again, it's all free, and you can find the how-to steps at gradesofgreen.org.
Now, are the activities that you're talking about, are they for parents and educators, or are they also activities for the kids that you have? And are they different? Are they ranked by different age levels or grade levels?
They're for everyone. So we write them so that either a parent, a teacher, an administrator, or a student can, get that activity going at their school, get the Grades of Green program going at their school. So some lend themselves more naturally to a parent taking them on or to a teacher taking them on, and some lend themselves to a student taking them on. For example, we had a group of students about 4 years ago who went before a city council and asked the city to ban plastic bags. And ultimately, the city did just that, largely in part because of the kids coming before them. So They banned plastic bags in that city, and it actually was very exciting. They got sued by the plastic bag manufacturers, and it went through the court system, and ultimately it went to the California Supreme Court.
So as a kid, you had your first lawsuit badge of courage, huh?
That's exactly right. And they were successful. The California Supreme Court ruled in favor of those kids. And so that is like, that just shows the success of our program at its best, because that's, kids truly taking ownership and just being so empowered to do something about the problems that they see in our environment. So we thought it was really exciting.
Now, you go beyond grades of green, quote unquote, in terms of the school, because you also have something that you call Walk to School Wednesday activity. Can you talk about that?
We do, yeah. We have several activities that specifically, first of all, that focus on toxic reduction that I should just briefly mention. And then I'll turn to the Walk to School Wednesdays, because that's definitely one of them. So we've got one called Detox Thursdays that focuses on, highlights a chemical each week and then tells, kids or teachers, whoever's reading this tip, on what they can do to get that chemical out of the classroom. So again, not just focusing on the problems, but always providing the solutions and empowering, kids in the broader school community to do something about it. Then we have the green school supplies, which we just talked about. We have one on green school supplies, which is actually trying to green the actual school supplies that are used in the classroom. The pesticide reduction we talked about. And then we have one that's so easy to do impact.
Hey, Kim, hold on. Sure. Let's go back to the school supplies. Give us some examples there.
Well, I mean, it can range from literally anything from the glue to the pencils to the markers that are used to the pens. There's all sorts of alternatives out there. And we found, some great companies that supply healthy alternatives to these school supplies so that, again, the exposure to chemicals in the classroom is being reduced.
Are those companies listed on your website too?
There are some that are listed on our website, absolutely, under this activity. And we also give solutions to cleaning supplies that are often found in these school supply kits. So, for example, a lot of the school supply kits will often have, wipes that have, a chemical, or, a surface cleaner, or hand sanitizers. So we give solutions to having, green alternatives, healthier alternatives for those cleaners within the school supply kits. And then
I got a question for you, because the industry has been putting green labels on stuff that are not really green. And so how can you make sure those products that you're recommending are really what they say they are? Is there a way you folks are able to do that?
That's a really great question. I mean, if we're going to, first of all, put something on our website, we've done our own internal research to make sure that it's something that we feel good about recommending. Beyond that, with the green cleaning supplies themselves, there are companies, and that's what the green seal certified that I was mentioning. There are companies that will certify it, that's when you see that green seal, that it is, it is a legitimate claim that it is, that it has a reduced or eliminated toxins in it. So there are a variety of ways that one can go about making sure that, that they're basically not being greenwashed, I think is what you're getting at.
Right, yes.
Yeah. So there are a variety of ways to go about doing that. But the ones that we list on our website are ones that we've taken all our trial and error, and we're just trying to have everyone benefit from our trial and error and what we found works.
So I assume you found some products that were green but didn't clean all that well, as an example. And so you've searched around and found things that were probably the best cleaner but were green. So you've that kind of thing.
That is pretty true. But I've got to tell you that the lines of the Green Seal certified products, these janitorial products that we've been encouraging schools to use, we haven't really heard any complaints about them at all. We had one situation where the recycled paper towels weren't absorbing as well as school teachers would like, but the company had another line of paper towels that were also recycled. So we simply switched to that, and those worked effectively. So yes, we worked through the trial and error, but by and large, we found that these cleaners worked every bit as well. There's been very, very few complaints.
Now, my assumption is parents really appreciate and love these kinds of ways of being able to protect their kids. Is that is would you say that's true from your experience with the audience out there?
You know, I'd say that's largely true. I think the whole premise of Grades Green is that we're trying to form healthy habits for kids. And the whole reason we're trying to do that is because by the time, you know, people are adults like you and I, they've formed their habits. So change is often scary and hard. And so sometimes, you know, it sounds like a lot more work to a parent to, for example, pack a trashy lunch or walk their kid to school, or, you know, it hasn't been what their routine is. So it's a bit of changing habits for parents, and it's great to have the kids help to encourage to do that. But that's exactly why we're focused on doing this program. You just kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, our program is focused on kids exactly for that reason, because if this becomes their habits, then, you know, there's no change to be made down the road. It will be just very intrinsic and natural to them.
And what about the teachers and the principals and the administrators? Do they view this as, you know, another damn thing on my plate kind of thing, or do they get excited about it too?
Well, both. We've seen some get excited, and we've seen some, you know, be, again, very timid and scared of, oh my gosh, this is extra work for me. But when they see that it can actually help the schools in that, you know, healthier kids means you've got, you know, more classroom attendance. And I haven't even been able to mention yet, but it's an amazing stat that when your classrooms are cleaner and you reduce the toxins from the school, test scores go up as well. So, you know, oftentimes the school is saving money because there's decreased absences. The teachers are happy because the kids are there, and the test scores are going up because they're healthier kids. So when they see the benefits, they often persuaded. It can take time. And also, we try and provide the how-tos so that whoever's taking on this activity does so in a way that's not, you know, doesn't get in the way of the classroom learning that's already going on. For example, you had wanted me to explain the Walk to School Wednesday activity, and this would be a great time to do that. So here's an activity, right, that hasn't, you know, won't at all interfere with the schooling that's going on, but has such great health benefits as well as benefits for the environment. So basically what happens is Grades Green teaches the parents how to organize a program at their kid's school that's going to encourage walking or wheeling, like biking or scootering, to school instead of driving. So it's really just a matter of getting the buy-in or approval from the school principal and then announcing the program, working usually oftentimes with your city to make sure that there are safe routes, and then rewarding the walkers, the kids, with simple recognition or through contests, you know, even something as simple as, you know, giving them a hand stamp or a coupon for, you know, if your school does an ice cream day, something like that. You would, you know, kids just get so excited about that. And you can even create, neighborhoods can create walking school buses where whole neighborhoods of kids are basically walking to school together. So the greatest thing about that is not only is it healthier for the kids, it's great bonding time between kids and their parents. It's obviously healthier for the kids because they're walking all the time. And it's certainly better for the environment. You know, you reduce just tons of CO2 every year. So and parents reduce their gas bills. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Great. So for those of you who'd like more information on looking at putting Grades of Green in your school, you just simply go to their website, gradesofgreen.org. Kim, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. Really appreciate it.
My guest next week is Dr. Carla Hannaford. Carla is a biologist, neurophysiologist, author, educated. She's actually spent 20 years teaching as a professor of biology. She's recognized by Who's Who in America Education and has received awards from the Association for the Advancement of Science for outstanding teaching in science. And we're going to be looking at information from her latest book, which is Playing in the Unified Field, Raising and Becoming Conscious, Creative Human Beings. And we're going to be talking to Carla about movement. We're going to talk about the brain and the interrelationship with the two. It's going to be a fascinating show. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.